This podcast is part of the Gonna Geek Network. The opinion expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gonna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GonnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness starts in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. It's a podcast by fans exploring the weekly Marvel Comics issues and news. We're not experts. Just a few lifelong Marvel comic fans that want to share our weekly love of new and classic Marvel comic issues. Featuring Lauren's Mutant Musings.
That's, you know, Jean Grey. And since Jean is in this, no spoilers, she dies. Because, let's face it, Jean always dies.
Featuring Black Adam's S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Reports.
Lola also makes an appearance and is used to help interrogate a suspect when they take him for a ride, then flip the car without fastening his seatbelt.
And featuring Neil's Mighty Marvel moments.
All I can say is, that Reed Richards, he's so hot right now. Confused yet? Good. Let's get into it.
This podcast is not produced, maintained, owned, or directed by Marvel Comics, the Disney Corporation, Fox, Sony, ABC, or Marvel Studios. All characters, situations, and stories are properties of Marvel Comics. Stand by for your weekly Marvel comic debriefing. I'm Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you are listening to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition.
Now it's time for your scheduled Marvel comic book debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer, your host to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. This podcast covers Marvel comics that were released for the week starting November 4th, 2015. This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. Black Adam S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report covers Secret Warriors number 4 from 2009. Lauren's Mutant Musings discusses the doubleheader of Extraordinary X-Men number 1 and Uncanny X-Men number 600. And Neil's Mighty Marvel Moment covers multiple new titles in the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe, including Hercules number 1, Vision number 1, Howard the Duck number 1, Deadpool number 1, Drax number 1, Nova number 1, Doctor Strange number 2, Invincible Iron Man number 3, Amazing Spider-Man number 3, and Contest of Champions number 2. Neil also includes the standard Marvel continuity books Avengers vs. Infinity number 1, Guardians of the Galaxy XD number 2, and Spider-Gwen number 0. And Neil's long box pick of the week is X-Factor Volume 1 Issue 6, titled Apocalypse Now. As always, if you want to hear more about the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, Marvel's Jessica Jones on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe, as well as these same segments, please check out the main Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast found at GunnaGeek.com. And now, Black Adam S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report.
This is Consultant Black Adam, and this week I'm digging into the S.H.I.E.L.D. archives to look at Secret Warriors number 4. This issue was originally published May 13th, 2009, and was a continuation of the Nick Fury Agent of Nothing arc. This issue was written by Brian Michael Bendis and Jonathan Hickman, with art by Stefano Caselli. In this issue, Nick Fury visits the headquarters of the Howling Commandos Private Military Corporation, while Quake and Sebastian Druid go on a recruiting trip to the Australian outback, JT and Alex make an unexpected discovery at one of their bases, and Hydra plans their next move. When S.H.I.E.L.D. was dismantled, over 1,000 agents, including Dum Dum Dugan, Gabe Jones, and Jesper Sitwell, decided not to move over to Hammer, and instead founded the Howling Commandos PMC. After the failure of Daisy's Secret Warriors, Nick Fury decided to reach out to the Howling Commandos to bring them into the fold. Despite some resistance from Gabe, the Howling Commandos decide to join Nick Fury for an attack on the dock, a large S.H.I.E.L.D. facility that was taken over by Hammer. And not to get into specifics, but the last couple pages make it pretty clear that Fury is a bit of a... The other significant plot in this issue is Daisy's trip to Australia to recruit Eden Fessy, a powerful teleporter. Fury had attempted to recruit him previously, but his guide refused the offer. Eden is surprised when the guide says he can go with Quake, until Gateway explains that when Fury tried to recruit him, it was for a different group, which Daisy finds very interesting because she wasn't aware of any other groups that Fury is working with. This was another setup issue, but the ending makes it clear that the next issue is where things are going to finally kick into a different gear. I'll be back next week for my mission report on Secret Warriors number 5.
Adam, language! But you know what, Adam? You give me Howling Commandos, again with Dum Dum Dugan, and Sitwell, you hit me where I live, Adam. And Fury working with multiple groups at once? You don't say. I'm so glad I picked up reading this series along with Adam's reports. And needless to say, I'm looking forward to the next issue of Secret Warriors next week. Next up, Lauren's Mutant Musings.
Hey, X-Fans. There's two comics this week for November 4th, 2015. The first comic is Uncanny X-Men number 600. This comic was delayed from the end of May, so it would coincide with the beginning of the new Marvel launch stuff. The writer was Brian Michael Bendis, and the artists, yes, that's plural, are Sarah Pacelli, Mahmoud Azrar, Stuart Amonin, Chris Anka, Chris Bachalo, David Marquez, and Fraser Irving, all of whom are fantastic. This issue features all the interventions. We've got time-space interventions. We've got brother-sister interventions. We've got Jean and the rest of the X-Men interventions. We've got Cyclops versus the world interventions. And most newsworthy, we had the present and past Iceman sexual identity intervention, which I thought was handled in a very sensitive and kind of adorable way. So this one I'd say is definitely worth checking out, especially if you've read the rest of Brian Michael Bendis' run on Uncanny X-Men. And that comic leads into Extraordinary X-Men number 1, written by Jeff Lemire and art by Humberto Ramos. This comic takes place in the post-Doom mess, let's call it. It features Mpox, a disease which is caused by the release of the Terrigen Mists into Earth's atmosphere. This disease makes mutants sterile, so now we have a new No More Mutants thing going on, so let's see how long that lasts. This issue follows Storm trying to lead the X-Men in their new sanctuary, X-Haven. It also follows Magic recruiting mutants around the world, saving them, more accurately, young Jean trying to take time for herself away from the X-Men. It also features reappearances of Colossus, Nightcrawler, and a surprise at the end. I think this is worth following, and I look forward to reading the next issue. That's it for this week, and remember, mutant and proud.
Interventions? Uncanny X-Men number 600 must be influenced by How I Met Your Mother. Nice tease at the end, Lauren. I'm looking forward to learning what's at the end of Extraordinary X-Men number 1. Nice job at building me up for the comic purchase, Lauren. And now, not heard in this week's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. Yes, this week it is an exclusive long box segment. It's time for Neil's Mighty Marvel Moment.
Hi agents, Neil here with your Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition Marvel Moment, covering the new releases from October 28th, 2015. Okay Marvel fans, there are 8, count them, 8 first issues out this week as part of the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe, as well as a bunch of other titles that are starting to hit their strides. And believe it or not, this is the first time in a long while that there are no Secret Wars titles out. So what are we waiting for, listener? Let's get into it. This week, let's kick it off with the brand new titles hitting the shelves as part of the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. First up is one of my favorite classic Avengers, Hercules, back in his own solo title in Hercules number 1. As with many of the new first issues, there's a bunch of setup in this book, which allows writer Dan Abnett to place Hercules in a contemporary context. Okay, so aside from being a huge mythology nerd, I'm also a big Dan Abnett fan. And aside from all of his great work at both DC and Marvel, Warhammer 40K fans may recognize his name from the Eisenhorn and Horus Heresy titles, as well as other Black Library books. Overall, I really love this issue and I can't wait for more. And in case you're wondering, this is definitely my pick of the week. Vision number 1 picks up after the short story in Avengers Zero, where we saw Vision purge his emotions associated with all his prior memories. In Vision number 1, Vision has created a synthetic wife and 2 kids and is adjusting to life in the suburbs, Washington, D.C. But make no mistake, this is not Marvel's take on Leave It to Beaver. Instead, writer Tom King dives deep into what it means to be human. There's a lot of text in this book, and while there is a brief moment of action, there is a sadness and sense of dread that pervades this entire title. This book definitely won't be for everybody, but it had me going over the questions that it raised for hours after reading it. Howard the Duck number 1 brings us another first issue that effectively carries over from before Secret Wars, so if you're a fan of writer Chip Zdarsky's offbeat take on this offbeat hero, then there's a lot here that you're going to enjoy, as this wisecracking tone and streetwise take on Howard and Tara strike the right balance between campiness and seriousness. While it's no secret that we're living in the golden age of Deadpool, the new Deadpool Issue 1 plays Wade Wilson's newfound popularity to its fullest in this inaugural issue of this new series. Writer Jerry Duggan's take on the Merc with a Mouth, as well as the new Deadpool Heroes for Hire, looks like it's going to be a ton of fun, and Matt Hawthorne's art fits the tone perfectly. While this issue does suffer from a lack of chimichangas, there are a ton of cameos that are kind of brilliant, and I can't wait to see what happens with the new team. Drax Number 1 brings the big guy back into the spotlight, this time led by the writing team of former WWE champion CM Punk and Cullen Bunn. While CM Punk has co-written a few other one-off Marvel books, he's now the lead co-writer in this recurring series, and if the first issue is any indicator, he's not worried about a ton of backstory. Given that there are two Guardians titles out right now, an animated series, as well as a second movie in development, most people know who the character is, so I'm not too worried. This title was full of action and a few chuckles, so if you're a Drax fan, make sure to pick this one up. Nova Number 1 was a pleasant surprise this week, in that we're getting both the young Sam Alexander as well as his dad, who was formerly a Nova Corps Centurion. This issue does a good job of placing Sam in a high school setting and introduces a family dynamic that is sure to have some surprises in store. Corey Smith's art was solid throughout, and overall, this was a tight first issue that should pick up pace now that the backstory is established. Also out this week were Extraordinary X-Men Number 1, as well as Uncanny X-Men Number 600. And since Lauren is our source of all things mutant, check out her mutant musings for the full scoop. Wow, that's a ton of new titles. Okay, on to the continuing series, starting off with Doctor Strange Number 2, which continues the story of the Sorcerer Supreme dealing with psychic parasites which have infested the Doctor's mansion. This issue builds on the first issue and uses this issue to explore the Sanctum Sanctorum. Writer Jason Aaron spends most of this issue setting up Doctor Strange Sanctum as a character, which I hope will be recurring throughout the series. This is still a somewhat lighter take on Doctor Strange, which I'm still getting used to, but with the stories that have been teased in the issue, I'm definitely in for the long run. Invincible Iron Man Number 3 also came out this week, and it's quickly becoming one of my favorite books in the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. This week, Tony is still on the hunt for Madame Mask, and writer Brian Michael Bendis delivers the action while the story just keeps getting deeper. The cameo by Doctor Strange was awesome, and Tony's interaction with the Sorcerer Supreme made me actually laugh out loud. David Marquez's art felt a touch inconsistent at times, but overall, I found little to complain about this week, and Justin Ponsor's colors were just beautiful. The hits keep coming with Amazing Spider-Man Number 3, continuing the story of S.H.I.E.L.D. versus the all-new Zodiac. While Bobby and Nick Fury are neck-deep in astrological villains, Spidey lights it up with the Human Torch in the all-new Baxter Building. This issue was awesome, setting a great balance between classic comic book action and skillful storytelling that focuses on second chances, friendship, and family. This is the Peter Parker for a new generation, and I really hope that the emo Peter we got in the movies stays away from this title for the foreseeable future. Contest of Champions Number 2 gives us more Marvel on Marvel goodness, with the Grandmaster and Maestro summoning the Greek god Ares into the mix. I really like how this book is using some of the current Marvel favorites with new and underused characters to weave a pretty interesting story. Paco Medina's art was bold and solid throughout, staying pretty much in line with the standard Marvel feel of many of the core books. My recommendation is to pop down to your local comic book store and take a flip through and see if this title grabs you. You make the call. Okay, that's it for core titles within the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. And this week we got four titles outside the standard continuity. Avengers vs. Infinity Number 1 is the first issue in a four-issue standalone series, and it kinda came out this week. I say kinda because the physical copy that shipped to comic book stores was missing four pages, and when this was detected, Marvel issued a recall and asked stores to pull the issues. Some comic book stores decided to sell the book anyways, and as with many minor misprints, it's become an instant collector's edition, going for as much as $20 on eBay. Anyways, this title feels like it should have the XD label slapped on it, as it gives us four standalone short stories with classic Avengers lineups. Guardians of the Galaxy XD Number 2 continues the family-friendly XD series following the animated movie lineup of the Guardians, and this week the book actually catapulted up in my pull list with the introduction of a classic Guardians member who was conspicuously absent from James Gunn's movie. Just thinking of a couple of panels from the classic Annihilation Conquest storyline gave me the feels. This may just have moved an XD title into my must-read pile. And lastly, this week Marvel re-released Spider-Gwen number 0 from the start of the Edge of the Spider-Verse event from earlier this year, including a bunch of extras that weren't included in the original release. If you're a collector, definitely check out the extras. That wraps up the new releases. Now let's dust off the long boxes and crack into the Mylar and take a look at a classic Marvel back issue. This week's long box pick of the week goes all the way back to July 1986 as I pulled out X-Factor Volume 1, Issue Number 6, titled Apocalypse Now. If you're not familiar with X-Factor, in 1986, then-Marvel editor-in-chief Jim Shooter rebooted the original team of X-Men consisting of Cyclops, Angel, Iceman, Marvel Girl, and the Beast to take advantage of the huge popularity of the X-Men at the time. If you haven't guessed it from the title, this issue marked the first full appearance of the now iconic X-Men villain, Apocalypse. Now, while comics from the 80s sometimes get a bad rap for being cheesy, writer Louise Simonson's story is nuanced and full of conflict, including Scott torn between a newly resurrected Jean Grey and Madeline Pryor, Jean flirting with a relationship with Angel, and two minor characters who are at the crux of the conflict between X-Factor and Apocalypse's Alliance of Evil, who actually die in the conflict. While these days I tend to leave mutants to Lauren, it was great to go back and revisit this classic storyline, especially as the hype for the Age of Apocalypse movie is probably just on the horizon. Again, that was X-Factor Issue 6 from July 1986, written by Louise Simonson with art by Jackie Geiss, inks by Bob McLeod, and colors by Petra Scotesi. That's it for this week, guys. So as always, if I've missed anything or you want to share your thoughts on a title, head on over to the GunnaGeek.com forums or grab a phone and leave the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew a voicemail. Later, guys!
Wow, Neil, thank you for keeping up with Marvel's all-new, all-different universe. I'm definitely intrigued by a few of these titles, and just like last week, I will be making my way to my local comic book store to pick up a couple of these titles. If anyone wants to get in touch with Neil to talk about the new Marvel comic titles, hit him up on Twitter, at NeilIsn'tWitty. And a special thank you very much to Adam as he continues to report on the 2009 Secret Warriors run. Adam has definitely given me a target to use my Marvel Unlimited subscription on my iPad mini. Adam is our S.H.I.E.L.D. comic specialist. So if you have a comment or question on S.H.I.E.L.D. comics, Adam can be found on Twitter at StarSaber_222. And thank you very much to our very own mutant Lauren for her twofer this week. And of course, as a fellow mutant, I will indeed stay mutant and proud. Thank you very much to Agent Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast for providing the awesome intro and outro voiceovers. Good luck with your Hydra hunting trip this week. We look forward to your full report next week on the main Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. And thank you, listener. We sincerely appreciate you listening and downloading both this podcast and the main Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. All of us involved want to hear from you on how you like the podcasts or your thoughts about Marvel Comics, including your take on the many different new titles in the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. So please check out all the ways to contact us in the show notes or in the outro of the show, or you can always hit me up on Twitter at Stargate Pioneer. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer. Bye!
Thank you for listening to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. If you want to contact us, you can tweet us at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Swing by our website, www.legendsofshield.com. Look up our Tumblr page at legendsofshield.tumblr.com. Check out our Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. YouTube channel. Or send us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. Intro and outro music, titled Epic Dramatic Track, 2014 version by Star Sound, Black Adam's S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report background music titled Epic Motivation by Rocka Music, and Neil's Mighty Marvel music titled Epic Cinematic Orchestral Background Music by Cinescore can be found at pond5.com. Lauren's Mutant Musings background music titled The Descent by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not represent Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. Marvel Comics are the property of Marvel. No infringement is intended. We will see you on our next exciting installment of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition.